What is up, and welcome back to another episode of the Wizards Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Finberg, and man, do we have so much to talk about. I mean, first round of the NBA draft, so much happened for the Wizards in a draft that I thought, would be pretty quiet. Drafted two, drafted 26, move on to round two with pick 51. I mean, there's so much to break down. Not only that, but Denny Avdija is no longer a Washington Wizard. Something that I didn't think I'd say at least for 4 to 5 years after that contract expired. So, I mean, you begin the night with the bang, you end it with the bang, trading up to take Kyshawn George. Three players in this draft class that I think are very versatile, all fit the same athletic profile. There's just so much to talk about and so much to break down. So, I'm not going to waste too much more of your time. Just wanted to get right into basically what happened. And you can't begin with anything other than Denny Avdija being traded from the Washington Wizards before the draft. If you asked me literally 24 hours ago who were the only untouchable players on this team, I would have told you Bilal. And look, I've been maintaining that for honestly the duration of this rebuild. Like, you might think Denny or Poole or Kuz or Corey, they're all untradeable. Well, the Wizards might want to retain those assets. No, nobody is off the board except Bilal. And Denny was a part of that. And while Denny was probably, apart from Bilal, the person I didn't think they would trade the most, he's gone. And look, when I saw this, I'll be honest. I mean, I went to Troy Haliburton's draft party last night. It was a blast, by the way. Shout out to Troy for throwing a great event. Well, I met a lot of great Wizards fans there. But right before we were about to head over, I grabbed some gourmet dinner with my brother at McDonald's. And I was walking out, and I got the notification from Woj that Denny had been traded. And this is the state of Twitter now, where every time I get something that's this crazy, I have to double check to make sure I'm not getting scammed by some fake Woj account that just bought Twitter blue. I double check like 5 times before, and I was you, my brother can attest, I was literally shaking as I was trying to tweet out. I was so shocked by like what just transpired and how much this franchise changed in the snap of a finger. And obviously in that moment, you get attached to players. And a guy like Denny Avdija, who honestly has been here longest tenured Wizard, been there through the Russ days, the Beal trade, the KP move, and now into this new era, you thought he'd be here for a while. And just when you start to believe he's turning that corner, breakout season at 23 years old, on one of the best value contracts in the league, making 12 to 14 million for the next 4 seasons, and only going to get better. At face value, this is one of the dumbest trades I've ever seen. And that's what I thought. I mean, Woj tweets out that it's Denny for Brogdon, number 14, and another pick in 2029. There's not many other details. And if that was the regular trade, you'd be a little bit concerned, obviously. But when you break it down, this is the full details, because obviously now you can look back and see that the Wizards took Bob Carrington at 14. And you look back, you trade Denny Avdija to Portland, you pick up Malcolm Brogdon, who you'll be able to flip for additional assets. And now I don't know if that's a first or a couple seconds or a young player, but you're gonna be able to flip Brogdon. He's only 31. He averaged 15 and 5 last year on a Blazers team that was terrible, but he's someone that can help a contending team. And a lot of people need defensive point guards that can man that second unit. A lot of contending teams need that. And so I think Brogdon will be able to be flipped. And that's why the haul for Denny isn't fully complete until we move Brogdon. You get Brogdon, the 14th pick you eventually use to take Bob Carrington, who I think is going to be one of the best players in this draft, still just 18 years old and has tremendous shot-making upside. But we'll get more into Bob later in the episode. To a 2029 first-round pick. And this is, I think Portland owns their first in 2029 and somebody else's first round pick in 2029, which might be, I don't know, Boston's. It might be, I have no idea whose it is, but they have two. So it's the worst of those two. So nonetheless, it's a first round pick, but it's just whatever one is worse from the two that Portland owns, the Wizards will get the worst one. And then two future seconds, and Josh Robbins reported it's a second in 2028 and a second in 2030. So, I mean, you get two first round picks, including one of those being a lottery pick in Bub Carrington, Malcolm Brogdon, who you can flip for more assets, and two future seconds for Denny. I thought the ceiling for a player of Denny's caliber was three firsts. You get two firsts, two seconds, and Brogdon, who could maybe net a first at the deadline. So, like, this is kind of the package for Denny Avdia, a guy that many people wrote off and called a bust 2 years ago. And you look back, you just got two first-round picks, a really solid player in Brogdon, and two second-round picks. So, look, would I personally have made this move to trade Denny? I wouldn't have even explored it, if I'm being honest. I'm a big guy. I'm a big Denny guy, and I've always believed in his game. And right when he was starting to turn that corner, you know, to move on, it sucks. I'm not going to be honest. As a Denny fan, as a Wizards fan, it sucks. But I wish Denny nothing but the best in Portland. I think he's going to do tremendous, tremendous job there. But, you know, for a Wizards team and Will Dawkins, I get it. You know, you came in here and you took over a shitstorm. You took over what Tommy Shepard left for you, which was just a pile of nothing. And you've been able to turn that into a lot of future draft capital. I mean, if you look at it, over the next 6 years through 2030, the Wizards own 8 first-round picks, 16 second-round picks, and 3 pick swaps. And a lot of that's give or take, because I'm counting the Wizards aren't going to trade their first in New York. That won't convey. They'll be one of the worst teams to let in the next couple of years. And I think this move helps secure that they won't move that pick to New York. And then you take away 2 seconds, because I think, like I said, when the first doesn't convey to New York, those 2 seconds go there. And obviously, a lot can change. But they've done a great job accumulating assets. And when you look at all the assets that they've been able to accumulate through Brad and KP and Denny and Gafford, trading away, you know, guys like Gallinari, Muscala, they've been able to get all of those picks, 24 picks in the next 6 years, plus 3 pick swaps with Phoenix. And they still have Kyle Kuzma, Jordan Poole, Malcolm Brogdon, Tyus Jones, Corey Kispert, Landry Shamet, Marvin Bagley, and Rashawn Holmes. That is 8 veteran players, very solid veteran players, that can net so many more picks. I mean, Kyle Kuzma could go for 2 first-round picks. Malcolm Brogdon could go for 1. I don't know what Poole's value is, but if he builds it up and you don't see him being here, and I'm sorry to the Poole stands, you're going to come at me, but if Denny Avdia can go, anybody can. Jordan Poole, maybe, if he builds that value up, can go for something. Tyus Jones, Corey Kispert can go for a lot. Shamet, Bagley, Holmes. Like, these are all guys that in the next 2 years, I really don't think they'll be here. Which is sad to say, because I really like all of these guys. But the Wizards have all of these dudes that they're going to have to offload so more people can get playing time. And to do so, they're going to get picks back. So when you look at the grand scheme of things, I think when Dawkins and Michael Winger came in here, you knew if they didn't draft you, don't get too attached. And you saw that pretty quickly with Beal and Porzingis going, Gafford eventually being moved. If you weren't drafted or brought in through free agency by this regime, like, don't expect to be here for that long. Don't think your spot's guaranteed. And that's kind of what I've been trying to stress here is although it sucks to trade Denny Avdia, when you look at the return that the Wizards got, you can feel a little bit better. Because I love Bob Carrington. You can get more for Brogdon. You got another pick in the first in 2029 and 2 extra seconds. So I can live with it. That's kind of my present. I'm shocked by it. In the moment when it was just for Denny and 14, I was livid. But when you look back at it, I can sit here and say I understand what Will Dawkins is trying to do. So that's the Denny Avdia trade. And I'm sure a lot of people have much stronger opinions than me. I think a lot of people don't like what Will Dawkins did because they love Denny. Whether, you know, you're a fan from Israel and you really like the Wizards and now you got to move teams to Portland and you know, there's a lot of reasons why a lot of people could be mad at this move, and I totally get it. But if you want to look at it at face value, it's very understandable from Will Dawkins' perspective. So that's the first move. That was shocking. I mean, I was hoping for a relaxed draft, get, you know, spend it with my brother and watch with other Wizards fans. But it was everything other than that, and I loved it. I was one of the most fun nights I've had covering this team. But yeah, that's the Denny trade. And then you move on very quickly because, I mean, everything happened in a span of like an hour where they trade Denny and then they draft Sarr. And you look at the second pick, and it was like I've been saying this all along. If you listen to any of the pods over the last 2 weeks, I told you I would tweet out that Tommy Shepard is the best GM ever and that, well, it was not Wes Unseld Jr.'s fault that the Wizards were terrible. I would tweet all that blasphemy out if Alex Sarr wasn't available at number two. And lo and behold, Alex Sarr was available at number two. It was pretty clear through all the smoke screens and reports and what Atlanta wanted you to believe. They were going Risacher all along. And maybe they thought Sarr was better, but Atlanta didn't deserve to be there. They're in a weird spot where you're trying to win now, and they'll probably trade Trae Young, and they'll try to run a similar squad back. But you take Risacher there because it just makes sense. And that's why the Wizards shouldn't have traded up to get one, and they didn't. You sit firm at two, and I think you took the best player in this draft. I mean, 7'1", shot blocking center with terrific athleticism. If you saw the clip I posted of Alex Sarr clamping Ron Holland, who was drafted 5 to Detroit, Ron Holland, one of the quickest, most maybe the most elite athlete in this draft. And he had nothing on Alex Sarr on the perimeter. One-on-one isolation situation, clamps. And that's what Sarr brings to you. He's a versatile defender. Yeah, he's going to block shots at the rim, but he's also going to be able to switch. I don't want to say 1 through 5, but like 2 through 5. If you have Alex Sarr and you switch it in the pick and roll, it's not like a Gallinari or a Muscala or even a Bagley in that situation. He's so much longer and so much more versatile as a defender than those guys, to the point where this guy is going to be an elite, elite defender. And Dawkins even said so. He said, he's got a lot of great traits, but they drafted him because of his defense. Dawkins said he talked to Bilal about Sarr, and then Bilal said it's defense first with Alex Sarr. And what I loved about what Dawkins said about Sarr in his presser after the draft is he just talked glowingly about Alex Sarr as a worker. Mentioned he's someone who's always going to seek a challenge. Went overseas to play grown men in Australia instead of playing college ball. Played in the overtime elite league. Played in France. Like he's always looking for more competition. He's always looking to compete. He's tirelessly trying to improve his game. These are all things that were echoed by Dawkins and why they took Sarr. And this is a quote from Dawkins. He said, "Alex is a special young man. He has a humility to him, but also a confidence." And end quote. He's basically saying like Sarr has a quiet confidence about himself. Like he knows he's good, but he's humble about it. And I think that's kind of what I like about Sarr is, kind of a quiet guy, but on the court, he's going to communicate. He's a loud shot blocker and defense first. And when you hear, I mean, Dawkins said in his presser, this team, when it's all said and done, this is going to be a defensive team, which was music to my ears. I mean, I have watched some of the most vile defense under Scott Brooks, under Wes Unseld Jr., people not knowing simple rotations, switching, no communication, defensive lapses. I've seen it all, and I'm tired of seeing it all. I want to see something different. I want defense. And that being the top priority for this group is just, it's the greatest to hear that. So look, Alex Sarr, home run pick. He's an anchor down low for you for the next couple of years. Something I loved, and Josh Robbins tweeted this out, Alex Sarr only worked out privately for one team, and that was the Washington Wizards. He wanted to be in DC. He saw the situation unfolding. He liked what they were building. Probably also wanted to play with his Frenchman Bilal, who he's good friends with. But he saw what was being built in DC, and he said, "You know what? I want to be there, and that's the only team I'm going to work out for." And look, DC compared to Atlanta right now, it's Atlanta's one of the worst situations in the league. So that doesn't necessarily mean that you should celebrate yet. But he declined to work out for the number one team. He left millions and millions of dollars on the table to come to a better situation in DC. And that's saying something about the organization, but about Sarr as well. So, someone that, the money's one thing, but he cares about fit, culture, where he's going to thrive and where he can best help the team win. And I think him knowing that that spot was Washington, That speaks volumes to both Sar the player and what Dawkins and Winger have been building here in DC. So look, home run pick was number one on my board, number one on a lot of boards, and the Wizards sit at two, don't trade up, and they get who I think is the best player in this draft. Finally securing that down low spot. I mean, you trade Gafford and you immediately replace him. Home run selection. I don't want to harp on Sar too much because I feel like I'm being repetitive. You'll just have to watch and see, but very, very happy with how this draft started. So look, an hour, this is all in 1 hour. You trade Denny Avdia for that haul. You draft Alex Sar, and now you're sat here and you're like, well, we have another pick in the lottery. And if I'm being honest, this was about the fourth pick. I saw David Aldridge tweet out that the Wizards had brought in Bub Carrington for a private workout last minute. And I don't know if it was the night before the draft or whatever it was, but when I saw that, I turned to my brother and I was like, it's gonna be Bub at 14. And the reason I say that is because if you remember last year, Bilal Coulibaly working out for the Wizards, that wasn't even reported until after the fact. He came in like a day or two before the draft for like a secret private workout. And it was the only one he did in the pre-draft cycle. Because if you remember, he was playing in the France and playing in those playoffs and didn't really get to go to the combine or any of that. So this was his only look. And the Wizards were like, we've seen enough. We're trading up. This is our guy. And now you look back tonight and you see that they brought Bub in for a last look one-on-one. You can kind of tell based on history that he was going to be the pick. And even at when we got to 11 and Bub was still there, I tweeted it out. I said it's feeling more and more likely that Bub was the pick. And that's not because someone texted me and said Bub Carrington is going to be going to the Wizards. From everything you saw from how they handled the Bilal situation last year to what Aldridge tweeted out, it all made sense. And look, Bub's a guy that flew up draft boards. I think in high school in his junior year or something, he was like 5'7". And he's a huge growth spurt, all the way up to 6'5". And the Wizards sit at 14. I thought they were going to try to trade back into the top 10. I'm glad they didn't because I prefer to have more darts to throw at the board. But they sit firm at 14. And the way the draft board falls, Bub Carrington falls into their lap. I think it was probably the ideal scenario for the Wizards in terms of Bub being there at 14, not having to trade up to get him. And look, in Bub Carrington, you're getting one of the youngest guys in this draft, someone with immense upside. I can't even begin to tell you how much upside. He's 6'5" as a guard at 18. And I mean, if he had a growth spurt like that over the last 3 years to basically grow a foot, he could grow 6'8", 6'9". I mean, Bilal's still growing. Alex Sar could still grow. They're so young and have so much more room to go. But look, Bub Carrington, 18 years old, 6'5", 190-pound guard from Pitt, 14 points per game, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. So he's going to help on the glass too at 6'5". He's not afraid to get into the paint. Shot 40% from the field, only 32% from three. But over the last 15 games of the season, shot nearly 40% from three. So while that number might not look great in terms of the totality of the season, he did gradually improve. That's kind of what you are really looking at when you're looking at a guy like Carrington at just 18. You want to see where he improves. Played a lot of point guard at Pitt. But then once you saw him move off ball, I thought he played a lot better. I thought he was able to get to his spots and he's able to, facilitate and find his teammates, but I think he's best when playing off ball and basically looking for that shot. And when they allowed him to play off ball at Pitt, that's when he was best. And look, he's 18. He doesn't turn 19 for a couple of weeks, and he has so much shot making upside. I can't begin to tell you how happy I am, and shout out to my guy Damo, because Damo had been on Bub for so long. I mean, Damo probably would have taken Bub top 10 because Bub checks every box for Will Dawkins and the Wizards. He's young, he's athletic, he has great size and length for his position, can hold his own on defense. He's not as good of a defender as a Sar or even a Kayshawn George, but he's not a bad defender, and he has the length to compete. And I mean, he has so much upside. And on top of that, great shooter. So he checks every box for the Wizards. This was such a Dawkins pick. Checks every box. And I'm so excited to watch him because Do I think Bob Carrington is going to light the league on fire in the next 2, 3 years? No, it's he's going to take some time, but the upside is there, and he's such a great, young, intriguing prospect that I'm so excited to just see him grow as a player. I mean, even if you watched game one at Pitt to game 30 at Pitt, it's light years how much he got better, and he's only going to get better with the Wizards development system. So again, love this pick at 14. And looking back at it now, I'm happy the Wizards didn't waste more assets to move back into the top 10. And while you could have got, excuse me, while you could have gone, another great player like Abu Zelis if you traded up, or someone like Topic to draft and stash for next year after he recovers. Like, I'm content because I think Bob is right in the echelon of those players, and you didn't have to give up assets to get him. Other than obviously the Denny trade, but look, when you look at it from an outsider's perspective, like you basically took a 23-year-old Denny Avdia, who's probably about to enter his prime, and you swapped him out for an 18-year-old Bob Carrington. You get another shot in 2029 at a first-round pick, 2 seconds, and you can get assets from Brogdon. Looking at that's the only way that I can look at it to make myself feel good about moving Denny. And hopefully the way I just said it makes you guys also feel good about the Denny move. And I shouldn't say good. You don't have to like the move, but you can understand the move. And trading Denny, a guy at 23 about to enter his prime, to do that, you had to really, really like Bob Carrington. And the Wizards really like Bob Carrington. So that should kind of show you how much they valued Bob because they moved Denny. The centerpiece of this Denny trade wasn't to trade Denny or to bring back Brogdon. It sure as hell wasn't that 2029 pick. It was Bob Carrington. And if after what Denny did last year on that contract, you sat there and said, "Let me move on from him so I can take this 18-year-old," that should kind of tell you how much Dawkins and Winger really like what Bob Carrington can be. So that's the 14th pick. So happy with how that turned out. And then you're looking at, do the Wizards try to package 51, 26 to move up? And I thought they would. And if you listen to any of the pods in the last, 2 weeks from me, I've been saying I don't think they're going to use 51. I don't think they have usage for it. I think they want to move up, and 51 is a great trading piece for them to do so. And lo and behold, I was right. I'm not always right with some of these things, like how I thought they want to trade Denny. But I was kind of spot on there with them moving 51. You get to a spot at 26, and you're like, well, we really like this guy, Kyshawn George from Miami. Great upside, 3-and-D prospect, 40% 3-point shooter, great size at 6'8" for the guard, wing type position. We really like him, and we think a team like OKC could trade up for him. The Knicks might take him. Let's get him. I'd rather guarantee that I get Kyshawn George at 24, then draft someone that I might not want at 26, and then also take a guy in the back end of the draft at 51. Use your assets to move up. And Dawkins has been very clear on, he's going to do that. He did it last year, moving 2 seconds to get Bilal, and he did it again this year, moving up their second this year to make sure they got their guy. And when you trade assets like that, like they did for Bob and like they did for Kyshawn, it should tell you like these are their guys, and like they wanted to make sure that they got Kyshawn. And it was very possible that the Knicks liked Adier and they were going to take him 24, and then they were going to trade 25 and someone else would have come in, and maybe they wouldn't have taken George. But the Wizards liked him so much that they didn't even want to chance it. And again, that should tell you how much they value what Kyshawn brings to the table. 6'8" for the guard position, wing position, whatever you want to call him. 40% 3-point shooter at Miami, 42% from the field, nearly 80% from the line. And I saw a lot of people like 7.6 points per game. That's nothing. Your college stats don't tell the full picture. Like Alex Saar averaged like 10 points overseas. So did Reese Hachette. It's all about your role. It's about your minutes, and it's about what you can be. And to look at the stats and tell you that that's all you need to know about this player, then you can't really talk to me. You can't really talk hoops if you're only going to look at stats. And you can talk about stats, and stats are very helpful at times, but they don't tell the full picture. You got to watch these guys. And if you watch an ounce of Kyshawn George play, you know that 7.6 points per game means nothing. He's a phenomenal athlete, plus defender. I think a lot of people are looking at his shooting, which is great, but I think he's a tremendous defender, and I think he's got the size to defend multiple positions, probably 1 through 4. I don't think he can guard centers, but he's got it, in terms of switchability on defense. Shooting is there. I really like him. If you look at I think Tyler Metcalf from No Ceilings, which is a tremendous follow on the draft. He had him 10th on his big board, and the Wizards get him at 24. And I understand draft is polarizing, and some people probably had George in the second round, but to have a guy that has a top 10 grade for certain people and be able to get him at 24, only having to give up your 51st pick to do so, tremendous work. So when you look at the totality of this draft class, the players that the Wizards drafted, they are tall, big for their position. They are lanky with, pretty big wingspans. They are very, very young and with good upside. The Wizards aren't taking seniors, 22, 23-year olds. They're taking freshmen, sophomores out of college. They are athletic. They can shoot. And the thing that they can all do is defend. And I've been on this from the start. Will Dawkins mentioned it at his pressers. This is going to be a defensive team. And Will Dawkins even said, when talking about this draft class as a whole, he said, quote, "We did some things to add three different players to our roster who have youth, all have athleticism, all play on both ends of the floor, and all want to be here in DC." And I'll just reiterate, all want to play on both ends of the floor. Will Dawkins, Michael Winger, it's not just those guys that can get a bucket for you. You need to play defense. And not only that, you need to buy in on the defensive side of the ball. And all three of these guys do so. So, that speaks glowingly of this front office. And I'm so happy about the draft and how everything unfolded, apart from the Denny trade. But when you look at it and you try to wrap your head around what happened, here's a bit of a recap from me. The Wizards take SAR number one. I think it's a home run pick. I think they got the best player in this draft, a true shot blocker, anchor for your defense for the foreseeable future, for the next hopefully 10 plus years. Then you have the Denny trade, where I personally wouldn't have looked to move Denny, but when you look at the fact that they got Bub, who they clearly really, really like, you pick up another first round pick in 2029, 2 seconds, and you don't know you can get something really good for Brogdon. I understand it. And that's enough for me to understand and trust what Will Dawkins is doing here. It makes sense. So while you might not like the Denny move, I think you have to understand it. And look, when you go to 14, huge fan of Bub. Talked about him already earlier, but tremendous upside. 6'5" guard. And I will say this, Jeff Capel went on the Kevin Sheehan show on radio today, and he had two player comps for Bub. And if you don't know, Jeff Capel is the head men's basketball coach at Pittsburgh University, who obviously was the coach of Bub Carrington. He said, "I think I could compare Bub Carrington to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Tyrese Haliburton as bigger guards that know how to get their teammates involved, but can also get you a bucket." And if Bub's coach is making comps to MVP candidates already, that's music to my ears. And obviously there might be a little bias. I mean, Jeff Capel just coached this guy. You don't know if he's being overzealous, and he might be, but for those to be the comps of the guy you just were working with for a year and scouted all this time, that's speaking very highly of his guy. And then you look at George. I really like him. I think he was 22 on my board. Very tall, versatile 3-and-D type wing from Miami. 6'8", tremendous shooter at 41% from three, plus defender. And what I like most about him is they traded up for him. They gave up 51 to move up two slots because they valued Kyshawn that much, and they didn't want to even risk another team swooping in, trading up, and taking him. So When you look at it like that, and that small recap, I gave it an A minus. I would have given it an A because of the prospects, but you look at the Denny trade, a 23-year-old forward that is yet to enter his prime on one of the best contracts in the league. Do you feel good about trading him? No, I don't. And that's kind of why I bumped it down to an A minus. But again, the Bub Carrington pick and picking up another first makes me, be able to live with moving Denny. And I asked Wizards fans right after the draft run was fresh, like, what would you grade the draft? And there was four choices, and overwhelmingly, it seems like Wizards fans are ecstatic. And this is out of 3,500 votes. 71% of Wizards fans gave the draft an A or an A minus. 22% said B or B minus. 3% said C or C minus, and only 4% rated it a D slash F. And I'd be willing to wager that the people that graded it a C and below, that was mainly due to you being displeased with the Denny trade, which is fully understandable. But I don't think the low grades are necessarily about the prospects themselves. It's about how the Wizards got them in terms of trading Denny. So I think, obviously you can tell by what I've been saying, I'm ecstatic. Really, 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 really happy with how this first day of the draft unfolded. And I think if you're not happy with it, you're more so not happy with the Denny trade. And I think you need to kind of separate your unhappiness, excuse me, with the Denny trade from the tremendous work and the really good high upside two-way prospects that the Wizards were able to draft with their three picks. And look, when you look at it now, and you look at the young core that the Wizards are building. Look, Bilal Coulibaly, 19. People forget, and I'm so excited to say this because I've been thinking this for the last like month, and I wanted to wait till the draft. Bilal Coulibaly would have been the first pick in this draft, and I'm so confident in saying that Bilal Coulibaly would have went number one overall in this draft class. You look at how much better last year's was to this year in terms of the draft. Bilal Coulibaly would have gone number one. So when you look at it, the Wizards basically have two of the top picks of this draft, two top three players. Honestly, I think the top two players had Bilal stayed out another year and entered this draft. And you were able to get Bilal last year at seven because he entered early, and he's only going to get better. And people forget about it. You got Bilal, just 19. Alex Sarr at 19 years old. And look, what's funny is after everything that happened with the Denny trade, getting Bob, trading back in, like you forget the Wizards have Alex Sarr. He kind of got overshadowed by everything else that happened in the night. But the Wizards have basically got the best player in this draft at number two. And you might forget about that because of everything else that unfolded. So you got Bilal Coulibaly, just 19 years old. Alex Sarr, 19. Bob Carrington, only 18 years old. Kayshon George, 20 years old. Tristan Vucevic, 21 years old. All of those guys in the last three drafts. I mean, that's just outstanding. And I mean, look, if Bilal doesn't, I hope he makes the French team, but if Bilal doesn't make the French national team and he plays in summer league and that's your lineup, like I just said, I mean, you're gonna win a ring. That's a summer league super team. So yeah, I mean, I can't say enough about what the Wizards were able to do in one night of the draft. Just kind of looking at, and I don't want to keep you too long. But looking at some of the stuff Dawkins said in his presser, I mentioned already that, he basically said we wanted guys that can play on both ends, that could shoot, that were versatile, that were, had good size for their position. And all the prospects that you saw today check all of those boxes. And that's kind of what he was trying to say. And then, about Sarr, he said, Alex is a special young man, talked about his quiet confidence. And the main thing he harped on was the work ethic that he had there. Moving on to Carrington, Dawkins called him a great kid, said he's really easy to talk to, funny guy, very down to earth. He talked about how Bub can play both on and off the ball, but also that he shot nearly 40% from three when he was off ball. And then you kind of got to look at, what he was able to do down the line of the season instead of, the totality. It got me really fired up for what Bub can do off ball. And then, when he talked about Kayshon, the first thing he talked about was his hair. If you've seen Kayshon George, sometimes he'll go with the cornrows, but when his hair is out, it's poofy. He's got a huge afro, which is one of the sickest hair I've ever seen. So he thought that was the first thing he said was how crazy his hair was. But then he said, look, instantly you saw the size, 6'8", 6'10" wingspan. You know, those are attributes that stuck out to them as a guy that, you know, he's always gonna, he said he's always gonna wake up and he's always gonna be 6'8". He might grow. He's always gonna have a 6'10" wingspan. And those are traits that you can always bank on in the league. In addition to his 40% shooting from three. So Tyshawn could be a tremendous 3-and-D type player for this team. Alex Sarr is a rim protector. Bob Carrington has tremendous upside as a shot maker. I can't tell you how happy I am with this draft class. Home run. I gave it an A minus. I absolutely love what Will Dawkins and Michael Winger are building here. Building a defensive first team, building a team full of young, high upside prospects. And lastly, what I'll say is one of the things Dawkins mentioned a lot was, you know, the people they drafted or the prospects they drafted, they're good people first and foremost. And you see in OKC, all of the guys, I mean, Josh Giddey just got traded. And when he was asked about OKC, he said, the people there, the players love each other, the front office, they're all just, it's a great organization full of great people. And Will Dawkins coming from there and trying to take that and bring it to DC, reestablish this culture from what was a toxic environment of losing and just embarrassment, and turning it into a place with great people, great individuals, you know, people that want to be here and people that are all together trying to bring a title to DC. That's the shift of culture that I'm seeing. And these three players that they just drafted, they're great prospects, but from what Dawkins is saying, they're great people first and foremost. And that's what you need to establish that culture. And that's what you need to, you know, build a team that likes each other and that brings championships back. So look, I could hype on in this draft class for another 2 hours, but I'm gonna, you know, sit here and kind of end it here. I can't tell you how happy I am with this class. I think Wizards fans echo my thoughts as well. And yeah, I hope you enjoy the draft coverage. I mean, I hope I did a good job of trying to inform Wizards fans of everything, all the moving parts from last night. I mean, even I was a bit stressed with everything that was going on, but I think I did a good job, and hopefully you enjoyed, because, you know, I do this so, you know, Wizards fans kind of have a voice, and they kind of have somebody that makes it easy for them to like this team, to root for this team, to stay engaged with this team. So hopefully you enjoy the draft coverage. There's going to be more from today, and although the Wizards don't have a pick, and Josh Robbins reported that they probably won't try to add another one, they could still maneuver back in. They could still make some moves. They could still trade certain players on this team for more assets. So you got to stay locked in. Just because round one's over doesn't mean the coverage is over. So, you know, stay tuned with what I'm doing here. You drop this pod, I'm going to drop it today, one day after the draft, and I'll probably record another pod. I got a couple guys, you know, a guy that covers Pitt. I want to bring him on, talk about Bob. Want to talk about Kaishan and Sar with some other dudes. So yeah, stay on the lookout for even more coverage of the draft, and I hope you enjoyed it. I think the future is so bright for this team, and although it's going to take a while, and trading Denny Avdia means that it's going to take even longer, I think they're doing it the right way, and I couldn't be happier with what Will Dawkins and Michael Winger are building here, and how they've started that with last year's draft and moved into this one as well. So again, that's going to do it for this episode. Appreciate all you guys for following along with the coverage and for listening, man. As always, go Wiz.